Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We have here the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to a group of shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Here's what the Bible says in verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Again, just to sort of reiterate, every time God seems to show up, people become frightened and afraid and fearful. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, the Lord's Day, the privilege to come together. God, I pray that our meeting here together will not be in vain. God, that we would grow spiritually from it. We would be strengthened in this service. God, I pray that through your word, as it penetrates the hearts of your people, God, they would love you more and appreciate you more for your love and your gift to them in Christ. So, God, I pray that we would not leave here today the same way that we came in. God, our faith would be strengthened, our souls would be strengthened, and God, our hearts would be rejoiceful in what we have in Christ. We pray that you would do a work in this place for us and in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at the first seven verses of Luke, which describes for us the events that surrounded the birth of Christ. If you'll remember, we ended our thoughts on the obscurity of his birth. It seemed, from Luke's account, that the birth of Jesus Christ went mostly unexpected, unnoticed, and uncelebrated. No one seemed to be looking for him. No one seemed to be expecting his arrival. And no one had any room for him. But today, as we come to these verses that we read, we'll look at the angelic announcement of his birth to a group of shepherds who are busy protecting the sheep from thieves and predators at night. And there are three aspects of this particular announcement that I want to share with you. The first is the revelation of the announcement. We're going to spend some time there. We may only get there this morning. Don't know. It's according on how the Lord moves. And then we want to talk about the response to this particular announcement. And then, of course, the reflection on this announcement. So let's begin this morning by looking at the revelation of the announcement. Now, here's what I want you to grasp this morning. What we must remember, what we must understand, is that what we know about God, what we understand about God, and all that we can know about God is only what God Himself reveals to us. Whatever you know about God this morning, you only know that because God has revealed Himself to you through His Word. Whatever we may know about God in the future will only come to us through the revealed Word of God. As God has been pleased to reveal Himself to us, we can know Him. And you can't know God outside of His divine revelation. So we are not left to go on suppositions or superstitions. Sometimes I think people rightly view Christianity as being full of superstitions and suppositions, because much of what we say about God and much of what we claim to know about God can't be found in scriptures at all. We are not to build belief systems around what we think God is or how we want God to be. But we must receive God according to the revelation of His Word, and He cannot be a God of our own making. The God we must believe, the God we must embrace, the God we must accept is the God of the Bible. Not my God that I create, but the God of the Bible. So He is a good God, but He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a God of love, but He also is a God of hatred. He hates sin. So we have to let God define Himself with terms that He chooses and descriptions that He uses to define Himself. I can't place labels on God and descriptions on God and terms on God that He hasn't laid upon Himself. No matter what we think about God or how we feel about God, God is who God has revealed Himself to be. You remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples and He asked them the question, well, who do people say that I am? He got all kinds of answers on who people thought that Jesus was, who they had supposed that Jesus was. Of course, they were all wrong. And Jesus finally says, well, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter burst out, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, the only way you know this is because the Father hath revealed this to you. All the other superstitions and all the other suppositions were wrong. He was not Elias. He was not Isaiah. He was not a reincarnation of John the Baptist. He was the Christ. He was the Savior. And the only way we know that is through the revelation of God. Here is the angel of the Lord. Could be Gabriel. I think it may be. Don't know. He's not named, but it is the angel of the Lord. He reveals to this group of shepherds that are tending sheep on the outskirts of Bethlehem the truth of what has happened that day. And if God had not revealed himself to these shepherds, they would have never known. They would have spent their night watching their sheep, and they would have missed the coming of Christ. But God revealed himself to these shepherds. Now, let's examine this revelation. And I'm looking like we're not going to get past point one. But rest assured, it is a good point. So if that's all you get, it's good. The angel reveals two things, or reveals many things under two headings to these shepherds. Number one, it is a revelation of good news. It is a revelation of good news. Or good tidings. The idea there is the Greek word gospel. Unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Fear not, for we have come bearing good tidings, good news. We have come to deliver the gospel. Now, I want to stop here before I move forward and remind you that if they are bearing forth the news of the gospel, then the gospel has been birthed that day. The gospel is Jesus Christ. When we say that you must do this and you must do that and you can't go here and you can't go there and you must do all these things and we put the emphasis on man, that's not the gospel. Or when we say you must cooperate with this and you must have your part in this, that's not the gospel. The good news was born that day. The good news was Jesus Christ. He is good news. The shepherds need not fear, for the angel brings forth good tidings or good news or the gospel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. What is this good news? What is this gospel? Three words. Savior, Christ, Lord. Savior, Christ, Lord. That's good news. That's good news. The angel describes this baby not, well, he's 21 inches long, 7.5 pounds, got the blackest hair and the blackest eyes. He's got this olive complexion. He's just beautiful. No, the angel describes this baby as he is Savior, he is Christ, he is Lord. The word translated there, Savior, means deliverer. We've already mentioned that in an earlier sermon. It's a term that means one who saves from danger and destruction. Now, for this to be good news, you have to understand that you're in danger of being destroyed. That's hard to get people to realize today, that they are sinners in need of a Savior. It's hard to get people to realize that they are under the wrath and the judgment of God, and one day God will judge them and cast them into eternal torments. It's hard to get people to see that. That's why people don't fear God anymore. But listen, to those who realize that they are under the destructive hand of God, a Savior is good news. It is one who not only rescues and saves from danger and destruction, but who also brings that same person into a state of prosperity and happiness. He completely changes the situation. He completely changes the circumstances and the environment. It is one who delivers from judgment and from punishment. And so as far as Jesus goes, Jesus Christ saves his people from the guilt and the power of sin and from eternal death, from punishment and misery as the consequence of sin, and gives them eternal life and blessedness in a future kingdom. That's what this baby is. That's the revelation of who Jesus is. He is one who saves his people from the guilt of their sin and from the power of sin and from the consequences of sin, which was misery and eternal death. And he gives them instead eternal life and blessedness and glory and happiness in the kingdom of glory one day. That is how the angel describes this baby. He is Savior. But then he is the Christ. That word is translated from the word Messiah. He is Savior, but he is Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the one that has been sent from God. He is the promised one. He is the one that all of the prophets have been speaking of. He is the one whom all the Old Testaments have been looking to. Here he is. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Christos, the Christ. And finally, he is Lord. He is Savior. He is Christ, he is Lord, which literally means authority, supremacy, the controller, the master, the owner, the divine. In other words, he is God. That is how God reveals himself to these shepherds. Who is this baby that has been born? Who is this? What has happened? What event has happened in Bethlehem that nobody knows about unless God reveals it? Here it is. A Savior has been born. The Messiah, the Christ, the Christos, the anointed one, the promised one. He's here. God himself has come to us. Now let me just mention this in passing. Jesus Christ is all three. Don't try to chop Christ up. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. He is undivided in all of those things. Which means you can't have him as Savior unless you also have him as Lord. Understand that. You can't have fire insurance without having him as your authority. Say amen. It just doesn't work. Because he's not just Savior, he's Christ and Lord. He's not just the deliverer, he's God. He's not just one who will rescue you and give you prosperity and happiness and glory. He is the supreme authority of all things. Sometimes we think we can run to God to be delivered from our troubles and our problems, but we don't have to obey God's word or God's voice. How foolish that is. He is Jesus. He is Savior and Lord. He can't be Messiah if he's not Lord. He will save from sin. He will rule and reign in your life, or else he is nothing to you. Say amen. You know, some people talk about they've got their ticket to heaven. I'm afraid that's all they've got, or all they think they've got, a ticket to heaven. Well, where's your obedience to God? Where's your bowing to his authority? Where is your submission to his word? Where is that? Because he is Jesus, Savior, Christ, and Lord. How can we just have our needs met and don't bow to his word. So God reveals himself this way. He is Savior. All right. He is Christ. Oh, yeah. He is Lord. Oh. We have a problem with the Lord deal. But he is all three. And if he has revealed himself to you, he has revealed all three of himself to you. All parts are revealed to you. So these shepherds are going to understand there's been a baby born. He is, according to God, our Savior, our Christ, our Messiah, and he is our Lord. We must submit to him and his authority in all things. The good news, the gospel, is our Savior, our Christ, and our Lord. He has come. He has come. Which is good news to those who can't save themselves. It is good news to those in bondage of sin. It is good news for those who have no hope and have the wrath of God on them. It is good news to those who cannot possibly keep the law and know they can't keep the law. It's good news whose lives have been scarred and ruined by their own sinfulness. It's good news. If God comes and says, you must save yourself, you must help yourself, you must pull yourself up by your own bootstrap, that's terrible news. The good news is the Savior has come. The Christ has come. The Lord has come. And then, secondly here, it is the revelation of not only good news, it is the revelation of great joy. We bring you good tidings of great joy. Do you know that the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ as Savior, Christ, and Lord is that it should bring and does bring and inevitably brings great joy. Great joy. The good news, the gospel, Christ, Jesus, is the source of our rejoicing and gladness. You know, sometimes I think we want all these other things in our life to add excitement, add joy, add gladness. When if you truly realize your spiritual condition outside of Christ and then realize your spiritual condition in Christ, what great joy that should bring. Now, there's a couple of things here that make this a joyful truth. Number one. The first is that the good news, Jesus Christ, has come to all people. Say amen. He has come to all people. The Bible says here, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. Isn't it great today? Doesn't it bring joy to your heart? That Jesus Christ has come to be Savior, Christ, and Lord to all men. Now, every one of us in here are Gentiles, amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ did not come just to save the Jews? Because that would have left you out. That would have left me out. We would have been on the outside looking in without any hope and any covenant rights whatsoever. But Jesus Christ didn't come just for the Jews. He came for all men, Jews and Gentiles. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ came not to save the rich? I don't know if you're rich tonight or not, or today or not, but I'm not. But I'm glad he didn't come to save the financially affluent. He came to save the rich and the poor. He came to all men. I'm glad to today that Jesus Christ didn't come to save just those prominent office holders and prominent honorary people of the world. But I'm glad that he came also not only to the prominent, but he came to the common people. I'm glad that he came to save all men, whether they be religious or whether they be non-religious. Whether they be men or whether they be women. Whether they be young or whether they be old. Whether they hold high office or whether they are lowly shepherds. You see, Jesus Christ has come to be Savior to sinners. And every human being born, no matter what their lot in life is, they are sinners. And we need to rejoice that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. Not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. Not just rich, but poor. Not just men, but women. Not just religious, but non-religious. Not just prominent, but common. I'm glad that Jesus came to save even publicans and harlots. If you think highly of yourself, Jesus came to save you. If you think low of yourself, Jesus came to save you. And everything in between. He is the Savior of all men. He came so that all men could come to him. The second rejoiceful thing here, and that makes me rejoice because I know that I'm nothing and that I don't have a bunch of hoops I have to jump through. I don't have to become this to come to Christ. He came to me just where I was. But the second thing is this. The angel not only says he comes to all people, but the angel makes this thing personal to the shepherds. For the angel says, unto you this day is born in the city of David. Now, it is one thing that we should rejoice that Jesus is Savior to Americans as well as he is Savior to Russians and Ethiopians and everywhere. But isn't there an element of rejoicing that not only has Jesus come to all men, he's come to be Savior Christ and Lord to all men, but isn't it a desire of rejoicing that we understand that he has come to be Savior Christ and Lord to you and to me? He is Savior to all men, but he has been born unto you. Personally and specifically to all men, yes. But personally to you lowly shepherds who are watching the flock by night. It is understood that shepherds was not a high office to obtain or to have. They were lowly. And maybe the shepherds thought, well, he may have come to all men, but certainly we're not included. But oh yes, you are included. Christ was born in Bethlehem for you. I want you to get that. He has come to all men, but if there was no one else here on earth but you, Christ came for you. Rejoice, while Jesus came to all men, he came specifically for you. Should that make you rejoice? That Christmas is personal. The final reason for great joy is not only the fact that he has come to all people and that the angel has made this personal for the shepherds, but the reason for great joy is that he has come today. you can almost, you know, you almost hear people when you talk about heaven and you talk about future things and future events that are going to happen. You know, you almost hear people in their heart say, "Yeah, we know all that." You know, they knew God had promised a Savior, but it's been 400 years. Yeah, we know a Savior's coming. We know a Messiah's coming. We know the Lord's coming. He's promised all that. But we haven't heard from God in 400 years. We know all that, but it's been such a long time since we heard from God, and it's such a long time when we think that it may happen. We've lost our joy. We've lost our rejoicing. But the angel says, now hang on, guys. Unto you this day, not some future day, not going to happen, will happen sometime in the future. It has happened today. This day a Savior is born. This day the Christ is born. This day the Lord is born. It has happened today. This is not something that is still yet to come. It's not something that we are going to have to wait with anticipation or expectant hope. No, this thing, guys, has already happened. This thing has happened today. God has mightily moved to save you today. Or this, God is here now. He's here. Or this, guys, your salvation has arrived. It's here. Your deliverer's here. Your salvation is here. Your Christ is here. The Lord is here. Rejoice that Jesus has come to all men. Rejoice that he has come specifically for you. But rejoice, he has come today. The announcement is the announcement of revelation. God reveals himself to these shepherds. It is a revelation of good news. All of our hopes are tied up in that child. He is our salvation. He is the one sent for God. He is our authority. He is the gospel. If I ever get to glory, it will be because he came. If I ever have salvation, it will be through Jesus Christ. He is the good news. He is the gospel. He has revealed himself that way. And that should bring to every born-again believer great joy. Now, I understand salvation is progressive. In other words, we have been saved, we are being saved, one day we will be fully, completely saved. Conversion, sanctification, right? Justification, conversion, sanctification, glorification. But understand this, it is a done deal for those who have their faith and trust in Christ. He came. May we rejoice in our salvation now. Some people tell me, well, I tell you what, preacher, when I get to glory, when I get to heaven, I'm going to cut loose with a yell. What are you waiting on? Rejoice in your salvation now. He's come. This day in the city of David is born a Savior, the Christ Lord. I got tickled at home watching some TV and found out that Christmas had been ruined for many people. I said, well, I need to listen to this. How was Christmas? And that was the headline. Christmas ruined for thousands because UPS and FedEx didn't get their presents there on time. And that's how it was termed. I didn't term that, they termed that. Christmas ruined. Because I didn't get my present, or because the present I sent didn't get to the one that it was supposed to get to. And UPS and FedEx ruined my Christmas. You're probably going to see lawsuits over that. Emotional harm. Can you imagine Christmas being ruined because you didn't get a present, or because a present that you bought didn't get to where it was supposed to get on time? You see, nobody can ruin Christmas for a believer unto you this day in the city of David is born the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Good tidings of great joy. Amen. That is the announcement as it is revealed to the shepherds by God. Amen? Just one point, but good stuff. Let's stand. I have two more. You ready? If you'll come back tonight, we'll get those tonight. They're not nearly as long as that one. I want you to understand something. If you're saved today, raise up your hand. You wouldn't have been saved. You wouldn't have known anything about God if God had not revealed it to you. May we rejoice that God has revealed Himself to us, and He is our Savior. He is our Christ. He is our Lord. And Christmas meant something to us. It meant that God had come to all men, but that God had come to me. And it's come in the past tense. He came. He moved for us. It's good to be saved. It's good to be being saved. Won't it be glorious one day when we drop these bodies of rags, worn tents, and we put on immortality. We put on glorified bodies, free from sin. Won't that be glorious? But may we rejoice today in what we have in Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the blessings of Christ, the blessings of Christmas. Thank You for the revelation of God to us. That whatever we know or whatever we will know about God, it is through the revelation of God to us, as You have revealed Yourself in Your Scriptures to us. May Your Scriptures form that God for us. May we submit to Your description and Your terminology of who You are. And may we thank You for the revelation of the gospel to us. And may we thank You for the revelation of the rejoicing of this news for us. What great joy it is to be saved. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake, amen.